everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. Are you ready for a really bad episode of television? Because we're here to talk about one today. Oh, my God. I'm here with Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, team, what's up?
Hey. Hello.
So this weekend, my wife went away to visit a friend, and I had the kids and everything, and they're asleep, and it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like, Friday or something, and I'm like, you know, I should probably start watching the episode. I won't watch the whole thing, you know, but I ended up hate watching it till like 2:30, and like, I don't know maybe if it was that or not. I feel like this could be worse in the series. Like, I was, like, really thinking hard about it, and I hated this episode so much.
So, the thing that's a kicker for me is so many episodes of this show do, like, terrible things either narratively or just, like, the writing is stupid or there's, like, a bad point or the characters say really terrible dialogue, this, that, the other. The thing I think this episode has that gives it a leg up on some of the other, like, worst episodes of the franchise is it looks like shit. This episode has so many moments of, like, CGI or, like, character costuming decisions or, like, set decisions or, like, it just looks bad. Like, yeah. We've had moments where, like Liz will often mention, like, the lighting being really terrible in a scene where, like, you can't tell what the hell is going on, or, like, makeup being a little awkward, like the time Lady Gaga always had one fucked up eyebrow. But this episode to me is like an entire episode of one fucked up eyebrow. Like, that's just how I feel about the whole thing.
And you can't even really say it's like a choice either. Like, there's no really rhyme or reason to it. And it just kind of happens throughout the episode where it's like, am I, like, tweaking, or is this worse than usual? Because, like, every so often something will happen where, like, the visual quality will be so jarringly, like, strangely bad that you're like, oh, okay, this is like a bit. This is like a I think you should leave sketch. Like, suddenly we're doing this real bad on purpose. Like, in particular, there's like a sequence at the end and at the beginning. There's two separate sequences where, like, the whole show changes, like, aspect ratio and lighting, and, like, the characters look like they're SNL characters doing an SNL sketch.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, what is happening? Why are we, is this all bit one big hallucination? Like, what's going on? But that's not it. It's just, we just decided to. We just liked it.
It just looks like shit. Yeah.
It's a very pointless episode to me because it's like, hey, how would you like a little backstory on Michael Langdon? And I'm like, didn't we have a whole episode about that in the Murder House one? You know, like, and like a whole thing. And it's like, yeah, but we're going to do that like even more. And I'm like, but I'm not that interested in Michael Langdon. You know what I mean? Like,
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to move the plot forward using the antagonist, which, like, can work if the antagonist is very interesting, or if we haven't already had, as you stated, multiple episodes to explore the antagonist. Like, we're good. We've done enough of this fella.
Yeah. So here's the thing, like, this episode in particular, because, like, they showed us, like, Michael, like, the thing is, they're essentially showing us all of Michael Langdon's life, because I did the math on it, and this man's at best 8 years old. He's only been alive for 8 years at most, and that's in the part of the show where we are in the future, and not these flashbacks we've been in. In these flashbacks, he's 5 years old.
He's like five, right?
Yeah. They will forget this, but the thing is, because he's only been alive for five human years, they, instead of just giving, like, important bits of his backstory, they're like, no, we're going to show you his whole life. And it's like, oh, okay. And the thing is, if most of this season had just exclusively been following this, because they're going to frame, especially, oh my God, especially this episode, Michael Langdon is, for all intents and purposes, like the Nepo baby. It's every Lifetime movie of, like, oh, I don't want to run my dad's record store. My dad's a rock star and he wanted me to run his record store when I grew up, and I don't want to. I want to be an accountant. Like, it's that, but, like, if you were the son of Satan.
I want to be an accountant. Yeah, the son of Satan being like, you know what? I really could manage some spreadsheets. I can go for that.
The thing is that, like, so. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so this is, they really directly rip off movies in this one, and I'm going to get into that in a bit, but, like, there's a series called The Omen, and one of the later ones, it's about the kid, Damien, and he doesn't want to be the son of Satan or whatever, and it's like, that's the struggle he's in. But, like, we have seen Michael Langdon, like, buy into this, you know what I mean? Like, 100% before. Like, he does these, like, you know, satanic, like, pentagram rituals to, like, as his way of texting his dad or whatever, right? But, like, for whatever reason, now they're kind of going with, like, what if he had doubts? What if he wasn't sure? What if we could, like, parallelize this with, like, Jesus and stuff? And it's like, I don't care, though. It's not necessary. Like, I just don't need any of it, but they insist on us having it. And it's, like, frustrating.
And boy, you know? Howdy, if you're watching the, first of all, if you're watching the show along with us, I'm so sorry. But if you're watching the show along with us and you have any modicum of a religious upbringing, so you know literally anything about, like, Bible teaching, or, like, mm-hmm. Bible stories, parentheses, general,
right.
The latter half of this episode is going to be just paradoxical in a way that, like, will not be able to be rectified and is extremely confusing, because mm-hmm. they do so badly want him to be like, what if there was an evil Jesus? Would that be fucked up or what?
Also, if you know anything about Satanism, this episode is going to drive you up a wall. Remember earlier how I was like, they don't really worship Satan, you know, that's not really their thing. It's more about, like, you know, being, you know, very, like, for yourself, really looking out for number one, derogatory. This episode, it's crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy what they decide Satanism is.
They full sell. Like, they already kind of were dabbling in it a little bit, but they full sell into, yeah, Satanism's just like Christianity, but evil. But we do it, like, evil and bad. It's like on opposite day. It's opposite day Christianity is all it is.
Yeah.
I want to burn in hell, which is, like, a thing. Even, like, most cartoon Satanists are like, well, I don't want to do that, you know? But even they're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. Yeah, the idea is that, like, when I end up there, he'll be like, cool, let's hang, instead of putting me in the lake of burning sulfur or whatever, right?
Or, yeah, on, like, the most simplistic of takes, most people who don't believe in God, quote-unquote, just don't buy into the idea of an eternal damnation, because that's something that Christianity pushes as being a punishment by God for not believing in God. So you wouldn't, that's that you wouldn't think that was real, probably, if you didn't believe in Christianity.
Right. But
oh my god. The thing about it, we were talking about the, like, the framing and how stupid this episode looks. So the opening scene, they, first of all, they show us that they do actually know that a dead body that was burned to death wouldn't be a pile of ash, because they show the three people that burned to death in the last scene of the last episode, still, like, on the pyres they were on, and they're like piles of burned bones and clothes and whatnot, which is what you would be, not a pile of ash, looking at you, John Henry. and somehow Michael has just, like, found this, I guess. He found where the witches did this, which, to be clear, I don't think we ever said, like, what this set piece was in our last episode. It appears to be, like, the backside of a dam, question mark? Like, that currently in use? I think that's what it is, like, they're on, like, the dry part of a dam that's not currently being used. And they're in the middle of it.
As far as how he found the place, before you feel the need to interrupt and be like, oh, but he clearly was getting instructions from Satan, you know, that's his whole thing. No, he's going to spend the entire next, all of the episode being like, Daddy, why won't you tell me where to go, Daddy? Daddy, I'm so lost. Help, Daddy. And so he's not getting directions from Satan. So there's no reason he would know where this happened and where to go.
Also, mm-hmm. going back to, like, that this episode specifically frames it as, like, a Lifetime movie where the son of Satan, like, doesn't want to do the family business and, like, has a very tense, like, nepotism-based relationship with his father. Satan is kind of an asshole this whole episode, because he just straight up, for no reason, does not talk to Michael. Michael needs help, like, more than ever, and Satan's like, I've decided to be a deadbeat father now.
Well, you know, and it's funny because you might at first think like, well, wouldn't that be kind of in character for Satan? But it's like, no. But he's, your goal is the apocalypse, right? End of the world and everything. Like he's your emissary for that. So you absolutely do want to talk to Michael and be like, look, idiot, look, genius. You go here and you set off the nuclear bomb or something, right? But instead, Michael just spends, yeah, most of this episode like, what the heck? I don't, there's no IKEA manual for the apocalypse, Satan. Like, help me out. But he doesn't.
Yeah, so, like, whatever. Since they wanted to be an allegory for Jesus so bad, imagine if there was a part of the Bible where, like, Jesus really needed God's guidance and he, like, asked God for help. And God's like, hold on, I gotta finish this game of FIFA real quick. And, like, well, didn't help Jesus.
It's like, well, it's supposed to, I guess, parallel, like, hey, remember when Jesus, like, kind of walked in the desert for a while?
Wandering the deserts.
Yeah, but it's like, what if...
Except, like, it's not 40 days and 40 nights, it's, like, 40 minutes. And that's, like, it?
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, a long time. I go without talking to people for 40 minutes all the time.
Yeah, it's, like, really short. It doesn't really match the parallel at all. Like, there's no temptation, per se. Like, he still wants to do it. He's just confused as to how, right? Like,
it's also very funny. They're going to be like, oh, my God, you look like you're starving to death after he doesn't eat for, like, 2 days.
I know, right?
Yeah. He's like kind of dirty, and they're like, oh, you poor baby, you must be starving to death. I'm like, that man does not look like he's starving to death.
So we should get into the episode so we can get there. So after Michael finds them, he looks at the corpses and gets close to them and, you know, divines, sees what happened to each of them and sees that it's the two warlocks that helps him. Or that helped him, and then Mead, and then he does a big yell like, "No, they killed everybody! No, my allies!" And fucking Cordelia just knows to be here and is here and goes, "Hey, by the way, I'm here. Do you want to work with me instead? We got him." And then Michael's just like, "I'm just gonna go to hell and pull them back." And Cordelia just says, yeah, except you can't. I cast a soul or a spell that like hides her soul from you, so she's gone forever unless you work with us, which that's some real Calvin ball shit, because I'll be real, Cordelia, your domain does not seem to be hell.
Right?
Even a little. Like, whenever matters of hell are involved, you're at a huge fucking disadvantage, it seems like. Because, like, remember the whole someone being stuck in hell? Someone being stuck in the Hotel California? Someone being stuck in a lonely place? And, like, you couldn't deal with any of those. Michael Langdon just was like, hey, I'm your Uber. I'm here. And then walked out. Like, so why does she have, I have a special spell that makes it so Satan can't find your soul. Like, what does that mean?
Also, why do you have that spell, Cordelia? Like, let's for a second assume she's not fucking full of shit. Because the thing is, she just basically says that he's like, because he looks at her and has the exact reaction that everybody watching the show has, which is, the fuck you mean you just killed all of my allies? I can literally just bring them back. And she's like, no, I cast a super secret spell that made it so that you can't find their souls. So no, you can't. Which is like the equivalent of like a kid calling timeout right before they get tagged in a game of tag, I think.
I have a force field.
Yeah, I have a force field. Doesn't count. I have a force field. And I guess she's just banking on, she either A, is full of shit and she's just banking on that Michael does not call her bluff, like even a little bit.
He's 5 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, that he's five and it's like, oh, that makes sense. Or she can do that shit. Like, she just is that guy. She's him. And, like, she can do that. And then if that's the case, why do we give a fuck about Michael Langdon? Just trap him in the super hell where his soul can't be found. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, kill him and then trap him in this weird super chamber you have that keeps people's souls from being able to be found by Satan or whatever. Like, what are we doing here, Cordelia?
Because we know what it really is we wrote ourselves into the corner by making death not count anymore, you know? But, oh, shit, we need, you know... Whoops. So, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, the witches.
We Dragon Balled our damn selves. Yep.
Yeah.
Hate to see it. Yeah. Goku can die like 7 times. It's just not that threatening.
Right.
So then, Cord, after saying, like, oh, no, I turbo hit his soul. Good luck, asshole. Then Cordelia's like, you're alone. I can help you. And Michael's like, no, I'm Satan on my side. Which Cordelia, like, yeah, tries to pull a, like, no, it's cool. We can be cool. I can be nice. See, I can be nice. Like, you killed his mom. You can't be like, I can be nice.
That's right, some real Negan shit. That's some Negan from The Walking Dead shit. Of like, yeah, I just killed your husband, but I do want to be, like, friends with you. Like, no, what the fuck are you talking about, Cordelia? What, he's like... The show forgets this, but he's like a kid. So like
he's five.
He's not gonna fucking fall for this. Like, what do you mean? All he knows is that you killed his mom. Like, he doesn't fucking want to hang out with you. What are you fucking talking about? It's, yeah. Fortunately, the one thing that this show does kind of get right is like he doesn't fall for that shit. And he's like, actually, I'm the son of Satan, and I know you can't do shit. So I will be bringing Mead back. And when I do, we're going to explode the whole world. And I'm like, well, the way that he words that makes it seem like before he was just going to kill the witches, which is weird, but like, whatever. So I guess like the takeaway is like, oh no, Cordelia pulled a Doctor Strange. And now like she did actually set the end of the world in motion because she killed his mom. And it's like, all right, we got too many other plates spinning for this. We got other shit right? We got to deal with. I don't give a shit.
He was already, like, destined to do the apocalypse. The whole thing is you can't have, like, this child is the source of all destined death and have him, like, pulled through, like, to the point for when he was, like, a toddler, he was murdering, right? You can't be like, this child is the embodiment of death. As long as he is alive, the world will end. And then have him be like, actually, I wasn't going to do it, but now I am.
like you are the reason I'm gonna end the world, and not like my dad who sent me here, like God sent Jesus. That's the other thing, is there are so many biblical parallels they try to do in this episode specifically, that unless you like had extensive time in a religious family or like are religious, you wouldn't realize it's supposed to be a fuck ass parallel of like, what if Jesus was evil? And it's like, okay, well, it's just kind of like a weird thing for this character to do. And then you think about it for a second, you're like, oh, it's because it's supposed to be Jesus. That happened to Jesus in the Bible, but this is the evil version. Jesus did.
Jesus was just going to save the witches.
Yeah.
And then he decided to save everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. I forgot that part of the Bible.
That's like in 1st and 2nd Peter or something. Or like Titus, maybe? Deuteronomy, Philemon, maybe?
Leviticus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the Silmarillion or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, the Silmarillion.
Something like that.
A silver chair, Prince Caspian. If
it's not, right, it's like not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but one of those old New Testament ones. Like, oh, yeah, that whole thing, right? Okay, got it.
Fate Apocrypha. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Sure. So they're trying to build it up as Cordelia did cause the end of the world. It was her fault, but again, does not work. The child was created through the threat of fate to do this. Then we have opening sequence, and we cut to a very strange, like, overhead angle, like you're looking out from a balcony at Michael prancing off into the woods. And he's like taking his tie off and like walking around very mad in the woods, which, like, hey man, I get it. I've been Michael angry in the woods, but you gotta take the tie off before you get here. So he just walks into a big pile of leaves and then, like, angrily draws a circle on the ground and is, like, doing a really bad pentagram. But he's, like, getting really fighty with Satan. He's being really mean and being like, you gotta talk. I'm not doing anything unless you talk to me. Which, like, for what it's worth, fair. But also, I don't think there was a part where... There were a couple parts where Jesus, like, pleaded with God for help, you know? And was like, please, I need... need you. But there wasn't a part where he's like, look, motherfucker, I'm sick of this shit. I'm not going anywhere until you help me. I'm over this. Get down here. Stop being a deadbeat ass dad and help me out. Like, that's not really how that goes.
The Bible would have been much more fun if that was true, though. If Jesus had done that, the Bible would have been a lot more fun.
And then he goes, fine, I'm not leaving this circle until you help. And then it just cuts to 4 days later of him just sitting in the woods.
He's been having Jesus a real rough time.
Wasn't it like 30 days in the desert, like that they're supposed to be doing?
40 days.
40, thank you. Yeah. That's it. And then, yeah.
Four, 40. We're on a, he had to expedite it because of, I don't know, the stock market. I don't know. He just had to make it faster.
Evil.
Also, yeah, because it's evil. It's less time. Also, like,
right.
Again, because he's supposed to be like a kid in a teenager body, question mark, he grows like a fucking beard in 4 days. So, like, he gets all like scruffly and has a beard. And Cody Fern, the guy who plays this character, he's older than me. He does not look that way, but he's older than me. He looks like he's like very, very, very generously 27 or 28 years old. That's extremely generous. He looks very young. So you add a beard to him, and he kind of just looks like he's doing like a Snapchat filter that makes you old.
I think it's just the beach or Snapchat filter that makes you old, right?
Yeah, the ones that make you old.
I had the realization that, like, so when Jesus is doing his 40 days, 40 nights, etc., it's like wandering an endless desert, right? Like,
right.
It's literally a desert. Like, it's a perfect emblematic representation of giving up everything and like having no hope and just wandering with nothing. I just feel like that is a much bigger like statement and act as opposed to Mr. Beast video, if you don't leave this circle for 5 days, you get $50,000 or whatever, which is basically what he does. Like, he's just like, if you don't leave this circle for 7 days, Satan will talk to you and help you out. And like, that's what he does. It's like not impressive. Like, I'm sorry, man. It's not impressive. Like, sitting in 4 days for one spot, shit, dog. I've been depressed and not left a room for 4 days. I wouldn't be like, Satan knows me.
To be fair, this came out before COVID, because like after the pandemic, it was like, Ford, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, this is fucking nothing, Michael Langdon, you idiot.
Also, why does it have to be the woods? We see him do it like inside. Like, he talks to Satan like inside the house, like inside a building at later points in the show. Well, like later points in the timeline, but like earlier in the season. So like, why does he
also,
the woods are not necessary.
And so it cuts to him 4 days later, and he's gotten dirty and he's starving to death and he's so thirsty and all that. And in what has to have been product placement or something,
because right?
It's like so fucking crazy. Like a little cherubic angel child dressed in white shows up and goes, hey, you want a refreshing grape Fanta? It's heavenly. Like, basically is just like holds out the can of like shaking a Fanta, being like, want a Fanta?
It's so weird. Like,
thanks,
right?
Thanks, yeah, I guess that
it must be it. Yeah. It's just because it's like when that happened, I was just sitting here like I was figuring it was just American Horror Story doing their stupid like, I've heard of a product that's a little funny, you know, like that counts as being clever, you know, that kind of thing. Like when Seth MacFarlane then, like does like, oh, that's a tweet kind of bullshit or something. But yeah, like, but yeah.
But then like another child pops up and goes, OK, the Fanta didn't get you. How about an apple? And he's just like, I'm waiting for daddy. I'm not gonna do it until daddy shows up. And then yeah, he hallucinates like Mead sitting in a bed in the distance being like, you couldn't help me, and so, it's your fault that I'm dead. But
because isn't it that she goes like, Demi, why you do this to me or whatever, right? Is that it?
Yeah, but she says, like, Michael. She says Michael instead.
So yeah, this is a wholesale thing from the movie The Exorcist, where the demon who's inheriting Elizabeth Blair is trying to taunt the priest, and she goes, "Demon, why you do this to me?" And she's an Italian woman, which is why she's talking like that. And Kathy Bates is doing that impression. And I did a whole thing on our Discord, but like this, there's no point to this except the movie reference. It doesn't parallel what's happening to Michael, like at all. Like
even that's why she just randomly had a European accent. I was so confused.
And she's on
a bed.
Like,
why did they give her? Oh, it's Exorcist. Yeah, it's literally other movie.
She's dressed like the character from The Exorcist too. She's just like sitting on a bed. My thing is like, does this mean that Michael Langdon has seen The Exorcist? He's like 5 years old, and someone was like, "Hey, you're the son of Satan. Do you want to watch The Exorcist?"
I mean,
either that or that's real. It's real, no, and that's like a Mead ghost. And she's doing that for some reason.
I don't think they had VCRs in like the murder house, though, right? So there's no way she could have watched it. Like, and then you know, I mean, to be fair, like Ben Harmon is a terrible therapist, so maybe, but I guess not.
Yeah.
And father, true. Really, yeah, really everything. But like,
this is one of the sequences that feels like an SNL bit, like truly feels like an SNL bit. Because it's first it's the kid with the grape Fanta, and then it's another kid with an apple. And it's like, okay, the apple is like a Garden of Eden thing. I get it, whatever. And then it shows a big hunky man. That's I don't remember his name. The Satanist guy. I don't remember his name.
Anton LaVey,
yeah. Yes. We're about to get hit with two big beefy boys. Because after we get the weird exorcist like bit in the middle of this, that guy shows up and is like, "No, you did so good. You're doing so good. Your daddy is really proud of you." And Cody Fearn, who is Australian, fucks up for a whole second and is very Australian for a whole second when he responds, but they do not try to do a second take. And that's only worth noting because later in American Horror Stories, in an episode we've covered on our Patreon, he will play a American park ranger who is painfully Australian. I guess because they were so sick of Cody Fearn not being able to do an American accent, and they were so tired of it, they were just like, just write that this American park ranger was an Australian kid who always dreamed about being an American park ranger, ? So that Cody Fearn doesn't have to try and do an American accent for the whole time. And I just thought that was very funny that he let the Australian slip out for a second, and they were like, "That's fine. It's fine. Don't do a second take. It's fine." But he's like, "No, you're doing so good. Your dad is so like proud of you. It's so good." And also, my thing is, when did we wholesale go in on Satan being his dad? Because first they're like, "Oh, Tate's his dad," and then they're like, "Oh no,
oh
the
yeah,
evil of the house is his dad." And it's like, neither of those things are Satan. None of those things are Satan proper. So what the fuck are you talking about?
I know. I know what it is. Tate was such a loser that this is the take on their virgin birth. Like, you had sex, but it doesn't count because you suck. Therefore, God. Right?
Impreg in American Horror Story real. Fucked up. Fucked up. Actually, don't tell them about impreg. They do so much stuff about pregnancy in this show that they'll go with it.
That's season 12, apparently, which I have not watched.
Oh,
Delicate
good.
Is all about pregnancy, apparently. So
yeah,
there's that.
I've seen the posters for it. I am so excited for when we get there. But then after the Satanist guy is like, "You're doing great, sweetie." Michael's like, "No, I'm not." And then he starts like choking him. And when he starts choking him, Beefy Boy number two shows up. And I hate Beefy Boy number two. Beefy Boy number two is like a big himbo in a diaper with the most fuck ass
diaper
angel wings I've ever seen in my life? ?
Diaper, big cloth diaper. Really got to highlight that, like it. Because here's the thing, right? You can do like a cloth wrap around the, you know, the groin area and keep it like relatively tight, and then it doesn't look too silly if the guy's like real ripped or whatever. But this is like big ass Tommy Pickles ass cloth ass diaper, just like puffy as fuck, like unbelievable, like clearly a diaper, not, it's like not a cloth or anything, it's a diaper. And then they just like, so he chokes and pushes him back, and then he becomes this diaper bait, this like diaper angel in it with terrible wings. And the angel's just like, God loves you, by the way, fuck you, God loves you, too bad, tough nuts.
I bet you hate this, I bet you hate this, I bet you're so triggered, I bet you're so triggered that God loves you, you're so owned right now.
And he's right. Michael's like really mad about this. Then, a black goat shows up, which is like a pretty classical way for Satan to appear and be like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I talk through a goat once in a while, you know, like has like a servant of some variety. Mm-hmm. And Michael Langdon looks at the goats and goes, are you my dad? And then the goat doesn't respond. And then he just like stabs the goat to death, and then snakes come out of the goat, and he's like, is this anything? What do I do? What does this mean? And he gets no answer, and after 4 days stabbing a random goat, he's just like, I give up. I'm over this.
This is like the equivalent, like, this is the Satan equivalent of like when I text one of my parents, like a time critical question, and B, a question that has like two very clear answers that I need either one or the other, like I need information from them, and they just respond with okay or yes to a not yes or no question that needs more information. This is the Satan equivalent of that, of him being like, here's a goat with some snakes in it, and Michael's like, what do I do with this?
Sending back a thumbs up emoji. And just like, no, but I need more. Come on.
Poor Michael. He's tried so hard, and then he started tweaking out. And the thing is, the goat was real because he is covered in blood, and there is a dead goat next to him. So like, none of that other stuff was real, but the goat was ? The goat full of snakes. Is this anything? And he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And then kind of like storms out of the woods. And now it's time for Michael to be in the big city. What big city? Don't worry about it. You know the one. He's in the city. He's in the city now. The one that's near the woods that he hangs out in sometimes, I guess.
I'm going to decide, because of how bad this lady's like definition of evil is, it's like St. Louis, like Indianapolis. Like, it's definitely not like Chicago or New York.
Not a very worldly city.
I'm gonna say this is real Indianapolis Satanism.
Oh my god. He's in an alley, like fully in an alley behind like two big buildings. How he ended up here, no fucking idea. Or why he's there, and he's like limping, which is did he get fucked up by the goat? I don't know why he's limping. And in this alley, again, cannot overstate how it's just a random fucking alley. He sees an upside down cross on the wall, which, I have to be real with you, there's probably about 10 bajillion of those in every city graffitied on walls. Like, it's one of the most commonly graffitied thing. But he's like, oh, this is important. This is a sign. I'm going to follow it down this side alley. And I'm like, luckily for you, it ends up going exactly where you need it to for some fucking reason.
That's some Ned Flanders ass like thinking, right? Like, oh, a cross, I should go to church, but for Satan.
Yeah, what if Ned Flanders was evil? And he worshipped Satan instead of God. And he like goes to the end of the alley, and at the end of the alley there's just like a dead end, but there is a bouncer there, and like Michael's like kind of nonverbal because he hasn't eaten in like 4 days, and he's got like a scruffy beard, and he's like a little dirty. And the bouncer's like, hey, kid, you lost? And then Michael just shrugs, and the bouncer's like, good enough, get in there. And I'm like, you're kind of a dog shit bouncer, dude. You're really bad at this. Like, that guy, for all you know, he doesn't even know where he is. Like, you just let a kid who didn't even answer the question, like, the question you gave him, you didn't even ask him, like, a question that would determine whether or not, like, he wants to be in there. Because what's in there is fucking crazy. So you don't want to just let anybody in there.
The first rule of Satan Murder Church is you gotta tell everybody about Satan Murder Church. People need to know we're having a great fucking time down here, and you gotta let them in. You gotta let them know.
It's just advertising. Satan Murder Church.
That's what a bouncer does. And you might be like, they get people in.
Of course, a church wants people to come in, but like, wait till you hear what they do at the church, and then you'll probably change your mind.
Also, like, we'll get into exactly what's going on in just a second, but I just want to make clear that, like, he's about to walk into Satan Church. Like, that's just all it is it's a church, but what if church was evil and black and red instead of Jesus colors? And there's a lady priest, because there would never be a lady priest in regular church. It's an evil church, of course.
It's an interesting thing, by the way, because it's also Sandra Bernhardt, too, by the way, who is the lady priest. Yeah, so I was kind of surprised that she did this. I'm not that surprised, because, like, you know, American Horror Story, like, tends to cast, like, queer, like, actors and actresses. But it's a little fucked up to have her be, like, the lady priest at the Satan Church, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. They've had other queer actors play, like, quote-unquote, like, morally dubious.
Sure, I mean, honestly, it's just a little thing. It's not, yeah.
And
yeah,
I reckon they probably think it's, like, fun or funny, I guess. This is such a fucking unserious character, because, like, again, we'll get into exactly what she's, like, going on about in a second, but it is, we sit through basically, like, a whole chunk of the sermon, because we're watching it through, like, Michael's perspective, and it's just her bitching about, like, everybody in the congregation. I'm like, imagine if this was a real church, and, like, the sermon was just the pastor calling everyone fucking bitch made and telling them how big of losers they are. Like, it's a fucking manosphere thing.
To be clear, it's not, like, serious criticism of the episode. There's plenty of that. I just mean it's one of those things that's kind of funny when you think about it, right? Like,
true.
But anyway, yeah.
But yeah, this is, like, they're trying to do, like, a Wake Up Dead Man type sermon against the... But the problem is, like, whereas, like, there was a lot of charisma and force behind that, and a lot of, like, ripping the community apart in ways that were, like, very spectacular... this really is just like, God, none of you are being nasty enough. Fucking come on. I haven't seen any of you, like, slap a baby. Like, come on, go slap a baby. What are you doing?
You know what I
did? What'd you do that's evil this week? Right. What'd you do?
I bit a baby. Huh? How about
Pussy
that?
Shit.
Okay,
Pussy
all right,
shit.
Okay.
Get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. Nothing is good enough for this lady. That's the thing, is she's going to ask, like, four congregation members what they do, and they're going to do stuff ranging from, like, I stole money at work to I fucked my sister's wife. And every time they say something, she's going to be like, pussy, weak shit, bullshit, get eviler, loser. Like, I'm like, not everyone can go out and be Hitler. Lady, like, what do you want? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing on your off days that's so evil that isn't getting you fucking arrested? Like, what? If these aren't cool enough for you, what is? Also, I don't think stealing from work is a sin. I don't know. She's very, like...
No.
She's so like, emphatic that it has to be a sin. And I'm like, things that are, like, immoral or illegal are not always sins. So, like, you can't just...
Honestly, God would probably be like, yeah, you're essentially bartering. Like, they definitely owe you. They're taking way more of the excess value of your labor. So, like, if anything, it's morally correct for you to steal from work. Like, it actually is... Actually, God would probably be pro you stealing from work.
Yeah, and I need to prepare people now. Because this is going to be it for the rest of the episode. And I do mean the fucking rest of the episode until it concludes. That starting now, they're going to have this fuck-ass morality system where it's just what if it was opposite day of Christianity? That would be good. So if you do a good thing, it's bad. And if you do a bad thing, it's good. And the problem with that is nobody is as comically evil as you would need to be to do that and be a human being.
Also, that doesn't work for a community, because, like, part of Christianity is like building a community. There's like a whole element of the church isn't the building, it's the people that gather in it. Like, right. That's the idea. So like doing opposite day for that. And like, again, proper Anton LaVeyism, like Satanism, is being like very self-interested and like not worrying about the group or the collective quite as much. But it doesn't mean like if I turned over to the person in the pew next to me at church and just stabbed them in the chest, that would be like good for the collective. Because that's what they're going to act like, by yeah. the way, is that that would be a good thing. That would be like, nice, all right. And like, stupid, man.
This feels like what like fundamentalist Christians think Satanists are like. You know, yes, what I mean?
It does.
Yeah, real chick track
yes,
shit.
As
yeah.
someone who grew up in a fundy household, yeah, this is what they think that shit is. This is for sure what they think that shit is. Is like, oh yeah, Satanists want to go to hell. They think it's cool. They want to like hold hands with Satan and like they're trying to do as many sins as possible. Because all they can like think is their only point of reference is like their idea of Christianity. And so, like, they're just applying Christianity ideals to, like, what if it was the opposite? What if Satan did it? What if it was evil? But the thing is, there's a lot of very, in a lot of different sects of Christianity, there are, like, a lot of stuff has to do with, like, intention. And, like, a lot of it has to do with, like, morality. As far as like what was your intent, like they want you to go do good acts by like doing things and doing specific things to make God happy is like good because like you're supposed to do that. And they have applied this in the reverse in this show of like, yeah, Satan wants you to do a lot of sins because then when you do a lot of sins, then you get to go to hell. And I'm like, that's not, that doesn't even make sense from a what if it was evil perspective, because you still wouldn't want to go to hell because you wouldn't believe it was real.
You would want other people also, to suffer in hell. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yes.
You just make a good point of, like, the only way this functions is if you have a child's understanding of religion. Because, like, even relating religion to morality is, like, holy shit, thousands of books have been written on that subject. People spend their lives researching that subject, trying to come to conclusions of, like, the complex interactions of religion and morality, especially in the modern age. And, yeah, the only way you would be like is like if you do something and it's nice, that's Christian. If you do something and it's mean, that's Satan.
But also,
like all they have.
I want to just a quick interjection for folks at home. This episode sucks. It has not nearly bottomed out yet, though. By the way,
oh yeah,
this is
we're
so
not
much
to
farther
the worst
down
parts
to go.
Of this yet. Like
this is like
the-
good. Compared to some
this
shit coming
is the, up. We've reached the crescendo. Like, we're at the top of the hill right now of, like, as good as this episode is going to get, which is not very. And then from here, it just free falls like a roller coaster. Starting mm-hmm. with this specific sequence of the lady just, like, being a shitty pastor. Because she's like, all of your shit fucking stupid, you're not sinning enough. And I'm like, that, imagine if that was like a regular pastor and they were like, oh, you donated 50% of your paycheck to like the ALS foundation and then like helped an old lady across the road, fuck you, I donated one of my kidneys. Like, what a fucking bizarre thing to do. Because she's like, all of you are bitches, I robbed a nursing home and I gave money to the NRA. And I'm like, how are you getting away with this? How are these people getting away with doing these crimes? You are just regular people. How did you rob a nursing home? What kind of money is at a nursing home? Like, where are you getting money from the nursing home? I don't understand.
Does Satan enable this?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did Satan do to make robbing the nursing home work? Did you like, I don't know. I like, do you get the Luigi's Mansion like vacuum that sucks up money and just like stand outside and suck it up? Like, what? How does Satan help you rob a nursing home?
Also, again, where are you finding money in a nursing home? Are you robbing each specific old person like one at a time? And then she's like
holding an old person at gunpoint and telling them to put in their banking details into their app and just being like, yeah. Oh my God, I know. Yeah. You have to log into your email now and verify it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, it's going to take me 2 hours to rob this place.
And then she says like, and then I gave it to the NRA and I'm like, okay, but like 30 seconds ago, you were complaining that the president, who at the time was Donald Trump, is like really shitty, like she doesn't like him, and like the but it's good because he's making global warming be more, and I'm like, is global warming evil? I guess to like Christians it is, but like
according to Final Fantasy II, I believe yes, it is inherently evil for global warming to exist.
But I'm like, so is the implication that the Satanist church like thinks that it's good, like conservatism is good? Because like that doesn't make any sense with what we're going with here in this universe for a morality scale. I don't understand.
It feels like it's supposed to be that the Satanists' like ultimate goal is to destroy the world and also just be huge dicks on the way, you know?
Yeah. But... Which is not what, even from a Christian standpoint, is not Satan's deal. Satan's deal's not like... I wanna be a little fucker. Like that's not like what Satan like wants you to get up to.
It was desire to transcend God and like you know, be above him and like, yeah, that it was like rebellion. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, he just wants people to question God and like question their faith in God, which is why he like makes people sin, because like that's one of the things that makes you question your faith in God if you're not walking with Christ or whatever. And I'm like, Satan's never like, I want that guy to pee blood. Like that's not really like Satan's deal. Again, very like kindergartner's idea of what Satan like wants to do. And then Michael's in the back of the church while this is happening, and he's crying and he's got his head in his hands and he just looks so fucking sick of this sermon. And I'm like, you know what, brother? I get it. I feel you. And then the preacher's like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of you assholes not sinning enough. Fuck it. Let's speak in tongues for a hot second. And I'm like, that's not even an evil thing. What do you mean?
Right?
Speaking in tongues is a good thing. That means that you're like channeling the Holy Spirit. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I think the writers of this show think that speaking in tongues is evil because of The Exorcist. They're like, oh, only a demon would make you speak in tongues. So it's like, oh, okay, that's only evil. Only evil people do that. I'm like, no, it's good usually.
But even then, The Exorcist, I guess I'm the resident exorcist for some reason this episode, but like, even then that it was supposed to be speaking like old languages that Regan, the girl, couldn't know. And that was like, kind of like, oh yeah, we need a real deal exorcism because this is actually a demon and not like some psychotic girl or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even like that. Like, they just get everything wrong. It kills me. Like, it's so unresearched, and like, you could even, it doesn't even take much to find somebody like, hey, do you know enough about like, you know, religion just to say like, is this roughly what this would entail or whatever? And they don't bother. So
I feel like even speaking in tongues is one of those things where like, even people who like didn't grow up religious or don't know a lot about religion, like have heard about speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And it's almost never a bad thing.
Or you've
thing.
Seen video of like the... Yeah. The people who do like the snake handling and shit, and they'll always have like somebody like falling over speaking in tongues and like convulsing and all that.
The mega churches like do that, right? Where like those like bullshit for pastors are like, oh, look at me, I'm doing it, blah, 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 you know, and you're like, oh, whoa, great.
Yeah. Yeah, steal she's just so you full of the Holy Ghost and she's speaking in tongues and it's usually just like gibberish. This lady not only A, implies it's something evil, but also B, that like, you can just do it, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If you can just, like, do that on command, that's just speaking a different language. That's not speaking in tongues. That's just, you know how to speak a different language, and you're doing it, which is not anything. It's not anything for anybody. So, and then they start passing an offering basket around. I'm like, once again, Christianity thing that would not apply if it was evil Christianity, because that's a tithe basket that you put tithe offerings in, which is a commandment from God in the Bible, to help like support the church, is to like give a little bit back to your church.
Also, Like, according to the sermon this lady's been giving me the whole time, which is another reason this wouldn't function as a community, is everyone would just be trying to be the person who steals from the basket.
Yeah.
You've created a prisoner's dilemma where everyone's correct answer is steal, to the point that why put the basket around? What's the fucking point?
It's not a dilemma.
It's a game.
It's the prisoner's
game. This is the Hunger
Games. It's the prisoner's plan. This is exactly what prisoners do.
And it's even funnier.
The prisoner's logistics chain.
It's even funnier because, like, for, and then a new character drops. Her name will be Madeline, but right now she's just an old lady we don't know. But new Satan mom drops. They don't say it. They don't say it in the show. It's just in the. It's just in the credits.
In the, it's funny because X-ray, Amazon X-ray or whatever it is, was kind of like, they named her something crazy like. Like parishioner number one or something like that, where like I'm like, you don't even give her a name, but I, all right, it's in the credits, I guess. Good.
Yeah, her name is supposedly Madeline. I actually think one of the characters that are the most loathsome and terrible at the end of this episode do say her name, but I don't want to give away who those people are because they'll be in our next episode, and there may be two of the worst characters that have ever been in this TV show. They're real bad. So the funniest part of them doing this offering basket thing is they have Madeline hand the offering basket over to Michael without putting anything in it. And Michael is like, I don't have any money right now. And I'm like, that is not how this works. Can you imagine if during like tithe time at work when they're passing around the offering tray, you were just like, oh, no, thank you. I don't have any money, to the person next to you whose only job is to pass it along?
Turning to the person next to me. Do you know if they take condoms? Is it okay if I put a condom
also,
in?
Apple Pay?
Missed opportunity, but the Satan Church should take crypto, right? Like for the tithe thing. Just like
Yeah, absolutely.
True. But. Also, you don't just like pass the basket back. He gives it back to her and she sends it back the reverse way. I'm like, you have fucked up this distribution chain immensely, Michael. What the fuck are you doing?
How did they miss that also? That's so obvious.
It was so funny. I'm like, can you, that's such a fucking, I think you should leave ass sketch of like, oh no, thank you. Double it and give it to the next person. I say giving the tithe basket back to the person who handed it to me. And the old lady, Madeline, is like, hey kid, you look like you haven't eaten food in a bunch of days. And I'm like, he really doesn't. He's just kind of dirty and sad.
No. He's just generically skinny.
Yeah.
But not like, right. Not like dying skinny. Yeah.
And he's like, it's hard to describe, especially if you're not like watching along with us, but like, Cody Fern is a very like beautiful person, TM. I'm not just saying like, oh, he's hot. Like, he looks. He has, like, iPhone face times 1,000. Like, he looks like a well-groomed
model. Like, the big
model.
Wavy hair, the huge blue eyes, also, the sunken cheeks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, if you're really hungry and you want to eat, you know what helps is being a fucking warlock, I would think. But that doesn't come
or
up, apparently.
Or Satan, yeah. That's, yeah, he yeah. Could, like, there are so many points where he could have eaten and he just, like, didn't for whatever reason. And I'm like, okay, like, on his cutting phase, I guess.
Also... Yeah, he's shown that he's capable of all the spells, including the wonders. Like, did he just forget? Like, did the writers forget that this guy does spells?
Yeah, they fully do.
Do any spells.
They fully do, because later, when we do get to the two extremely awful characters, like, there will be a moment where they will ask him for, like, a demonstration, and he has to think about it, and it's like he's developing superpowers for the first time. And I'm like, brother, we've seen you do all of them. We've seen you do all of the magic. Like, why are you acting like you didn't know you could do magic until just this second? Did you forget what part of the flashback we're in? Like, we're past that. You've done the test. You're the supreme. Like, what are we doing?
You almost froze the warlocks to death. It's like a prank.
And then... She's like, hey kid, you look like you haven't eaten in a few days. And he's like, you're being really nice to me. And she's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be. We're supposed to be evil. Nobody's perfect. And I'm like, okay, so this is where it ends, right? So like, you're not gonna do it, because like, that would be like if you were sitting in the back row of church and someone leaned over to you and was like, do you want to go do a murder? And then you were like,
condoms?
Yeah. And then you were like, well, I know we are in church right now, and they did just do a big sermon on how we shouldn't do murder, but okay, nobody's perfect. Like, what are you talking about? Because she's going to be like a religious, like, zealot for Satan later. And when you're that level of crazy, you don't like fuck around with the rules.
Right?
And the other thing here, too, is like, so I think they're trying to do a big, like, send-up and, like, clowny of just, like, look how ridiculous this religion is. Even the people who are, like, supposed to be following it aren't really following it. Just like regular Christianity. They just are bending the rules all the time. Except, like, it doesn't work because, like, you made it stupid. You created it. You made a stupid religion and then are like, look how stupid it is. Like, yeah, you made it.
Ty, the only
developed it, brother.
The only disagreement I have with you on this is that it implies that there's like a plan or that they know what they're doing on any level. I feel I really am just like, this is random shit they threw at a wall to like, because they wanted to make the apocalypse thing, ran out of ideas, and then had to like retreat to Coven 2 and all this weird shit, you know, hence like two full episodes of prologue of Michael Langdon, but you know. Who the hell knows? God damn it, I hate this show. Anyway.
Yeah, and this is about to kick off What If Michael Had a Satan Mom Part 2. He's getting a lot of these. He's on his third mom at this. Technically fourth, I guess, because Vivian also was there, but she like tried to kill him or whatever. He's got a lot of moms. Like, he's going to be real sad about losing, like, Mead. And I'm like, you seem to have no issue finding new moms. Cordelia kind of offered to be your mom earlier. Like, you got ladies, like, chomping at the bit to be your Satan mom or whatever. Really, honestly, just keeps kind of stumbling into it. But this will start the arc of, what if he had a second Satan mom who does and serves the exact same purpose as Miriam Mead. So her dying didn't actually mean anything because we've just found another lady who's just her and will do the same thing that Miriam Mead was going to do for him. So her dying was kind of inconsequential, except for we wanted to do the end
Which,
of this
episode. The cool part is the entire purpose of the back half of this episode will be Michael Langdon trying to recreate Mead so that he has Mead again, despite the fact that he already has a new Mead. It's almost one of those things where you would expect, and I'll just, spoilers, I guess, you would expect it to be like he goes through all this different stuff. I guess it's not spoilers, because you know there's a robot Mead. We've already seen that. he goes through this whole thing, and you'd think it'd be like, oh, he realizes at the end that he doesn't need a new Mead. He just needed, you know, a nice Satan mom or whatever. But like, fuck that. I'm making a robot of my first mom, and this time she's Massad. Like...
That's so crazy. But that's what it happens. Burn this fucking show.
And I guarantee in our next episode, you are not even like a little bit prepared for how shitty the journey to get to that end point is going to be. You have no idea how shitty the journey is going to be. It's going to be one of the hardest. This was one of the shorter episodes of the season. I think it's only like 36 minutes. This was one of the hardest 10 minutes of TV I've ever had to watch. It looks like an SNL sketch. It's framed like an SNL sketch, and it has two of the worst characters I've ever seen in any television show ever.
It's supposed to be a send-up of like Mark Zuckerberg like guys, like Tech Valley shitheads, but it
so many people have done that archetype so much better. And also, this is the third to last episode of the season. Like, they're wrapping up, but they're introducing new characters and backstory. Like, they are out. They are running on empty. Like, I watched this kind of recently, like, when we started doing the podcast. I memory-holed this whole thing. I'm like, what are these characters? What is going on? Because it's so bad and so unmemorable. But it's coming, it's like the finale almost.
Yeah, oh my god.
Also, yeah, like, it'd be so easy to memory-hole this because so much of it doesn't advance the plot in a meaningful way. Like, it proves Michael Langdon is evil more. Yeah, we knew. He's going to do stuff as the son of Satan or whatever. Yeah, we knew. He's going to have Miriam meet again at the end of this. Yeah, we kind of got that. Like, it's nothing meaningful happens. I guess Cordelia's to blame for the apocalypse, which, one, no, she isn't. Two, we already knew that.
Yeah, it's without going into like any detail about who these characters are, I'm going to tell you guys their names because their names will never actually be mentioned in the show. They're only in the credits, and I need you guys to hear their names. So there's two of them. One of them is named Mutt Nutter.
And they do say Mutt a lot, which I love seeing a guy named Mutt. That's
Mutt
sick.
Nutter specifically is his whole name. And the other one's name is Jeff Pfister, spelled P-F-I-S-T-E-R. So Jeff Pfister and Mutt Nutter are still yet to be revealed.
It really is an SNL sketch. You're not kidding. They named this motherfucker Mutt Nutter.
Oh my god. There's also going to be
I can't even laugh, I'm too angry.
There's going to be
you're mad at Mutt Nutter?
I'm No, all of it.
It's Jeff Pfister, I hardly know her. Oh my god.
Too little, too late, American Horror Story. Get the hell out of here with Mutt Nutter, idiots.
Mutt Nutter, but enough about the dog breeder I know.
Right.
Mutt Nutter, I hardly know her. There will also be a reoccurring bit in the latter half of this episode that has to do with like the gifts you get from Satan if you like do Satan stuff. And it'll be a bit where his recurring like mention of Ryan Reynolds. It's so SNL coded. Parentheses derogatory. It's so SNL coded. Our next episode's gonna be batshit insane.
Don't follow along.
Don't watch it. Seriously.
Oh, one thing I will spoil. Hey, there's going to be backstory for Venable. You might say, Venable? What? But we already switched to the other Sarah Paulson. We can't have that. Nope. Too bad.
Oh, my.
Hope you like juggling two of the same character doing kind of the same character, too. Just like one's nice and one's nasty.
Or even spoilers for later in the season, like, let's put on our Tom Clancy hats and try to write why there'd be an apocalypse, which is like, no, I don't even do the why! Like, there's no point, you idiots! Like, that's so stupid! But...
Yay.
Well, till next time, folks, where we will continue talking about, what was the name of this episode?
Sojourn.
I guess is just him going into the woods and sitting in a circle for a couple days and then being like, I give up. I'm tired. I'm leaving. Forget this. Enough of this crap. Till next time, folks. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.